Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressor.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of the Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode, I have Dr. Paula Chambers. She's a speaker, a writer, a dance healer, a somatic educator, and developmental trauma survivor based in LA. She found the NIA technique to help heal her own trauma and has been using this technique with her clients, which I'm super fascinated about and I can't wait to dive into, because the NIA technique draws from martial arts, dance arts, and healing arts to help engage the whole body, the mind, and the spirits, and even those emotions of yours. So the more you practice it, the more resilient you become, and the more you can take charge of your whole body and life. Paula, welcome to the Health Fix and being willing to talk about this NIA technique here.
I am honored to be here. I admire your work, and it's a pleasure to share NIA with you and your audience.
Well, thank you. So we were talking just before we went on, and you were talking about how voice is like a dance, and NIA is much of a dance technique as well. So I'm going, are you singing maybe while you do some of the NIA work? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, what could we be doing with the dance of the mouth and dance of the body at the same time? Just out of curiosity.
Well, there is an optional vocal element of NIA that we call sounding. When we're moving, which is all the time in NIA, we are always permitted to make any sound that we want. And it doesn't have to be words. I seldom cue people to sound. Sometimes I do, but people are always free to make sound, and I make sound. I'm kind of noisy when I'm doing a block or a kick or some martial arts move. I want to go, ha! Huh! Or, you know, I want to feel and express that blast of energy out from my lungs and my gut, which amplifies the sensation of the movement. And it brings in the emotional, mental, spiritual dimension. It gives the movement meaning to me to make sound. But that said, people have different feelings about sounding, so it's never required.
Good to know. Because I mean, I think some people definitely would love to be able to integrate both of them. Now, of course, I jumped right out of the gates and wanted to talk about that. But I think a lot of folks are like, okay, what is this NIA thing? And of course, we all love stories. And because trauma brought you to it to help you, I think I would love to have you tell a little bit of your story and how NIA fell into your world and how you utilize it, what it is. I know that's like a 8-part question there, but we'll let you kind of take it and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I was born in 1962. I'm an only child, and my parents divorced when I was 5. I could spend time unpacking the reasons why it was so impactful on me, but it just was. It just was. I've learned since then that the low conflict divorce is actually the most harmful to the child, the most impactful, because when there's nobody yelling and nobody hitting each other or throwing teacups across the room, and yet suddenly they split up, it's like, well, then nothing makes sense anymore. It's deeply disorienting when there was no visible conflict, and that was the case in my divorce. My parents' divorce, rather. Look, it's like my divorce. It impacted me so much, I'm calling it my own divorce. So now at 59, I can look back over every decade of my life, every era, and I can see how that event shaped me, not entirely in negative ways, but definitely negative alongside some nice random positives. And so I had my whole life as an adult, I pursued knowledge work because of my parents' love of words and expression. And so I tried being a writer. I tried being an English composition teacher in the academic world. I got my PhD in rhetoric and composition. And now looking back, I see all of that was just a big attempt to show, I'm really smart, I'm really good at words, now will you love me again? I never lost their love. I never lost their love, but the 4-year-old inside me felt that I had obviously been bad and that's why this terrible thing happened, and I'd better be very, very good from now on in order to survive, in order not to lose my remaining parent, you know? So it was, life has just been a a needlessly operatic survival terror for me. I did not lose their love, but I believed that I did. So I did things that they valued, and I did very well at that. And yet, there was also another side to me. I valued and enjoyed some things that they weren't so into. I've always enjoyed to move. I like to move expressively to music. I like to dance. I like to try different kinds of dance. I don't mind performing. I like when people are watching me having fun dancing. And so since my early adulthood, I have been experimenting and playing with different forms of dance. So I have quite a versatile portfolio of amateur, low-pressure dance experiences. And I have a lot of experience with dancing on stage, dancing at home, just experiencing what it's like when I move. And I've always just loved those moments in my life. In my social club, I volunteered to be the DJ for our parties because I like putting together a playlist that inspires other people to move and have fun and cease to control themselves. I really enjoy that. So, but I never imagined that my work life and my movement life would collide and would interlace, would braid together as they have now that I've become a Nia teacher in my 50s, after being an English composition teacher in the academic world and getting my PhD. I left the academic world. I was in my mid-30s and I became a grant writer. And I did very well at that. And I also started a socially positive business to help other humanities PhDs like myself find satisfying careers outside of academia. Because in the academic world, there's a great sense of taboo around the subject of PhDs even being interested in non-academic careers. It is just not done. And especially back then, you would get shamed and ostracized. And I notice now with my 59-year-old insight that all of the careers I've had have been what are known as hungry institutions, a kind of career where you have to be very, very good at something that's very, very unusual and special. And if you're not, if you don't conform, you are shamed. So you see how my professional choices have on a very deep, unconscious level replicated the psychodrama that I inherited when they divorced and I was so impacted. I've always been reacting out that, oh, if I'm very good, will you accept me? Quest. So I helped other people go through that shame. I helped others heal their academic shame and find careers outside the academy. And yet I was dancing the whole time. And so in 2010, the same year that I kind of went supernova on my PhD career counseling business, which was called Versatile PhD, that was the year that in my exercise and moving life, I discovered Nia technique. I had been doing ballet. I started ballet at age 45, wow, which is not necessarily recommended. The 45-year-old body is less pliable than the younger body, and so there's more likelihood of injury and certainly of frustration, and I experienced that. I loved it, but I was, you know, tearing my meniscus and having little problems and hurting, and when I tried Nia, I was like, wow, all of the expressiveness, all of the joy, none of the perfectionism, none of the pressure to do it right, none of the injury risk. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I was blessed to have two outstanding teachers who used images very well. I love imagery. I love it when you tell me, don't just lift your hands, but release doves into the air. You know, I would rather do movements that have meaning than are just movements. So those teachers I had were very imagey teachers, and I found my whole being, body, mind, emotion, spirit, just turned on in that Nia classroom. And a particular important part about Nia is that it emphasizes sensing your body while moving. Unlike ballet and jazz and performing arts dance, Nia is not a performing art. It is a somatic experience. It is a body experience. And so I had never had any teacher or director suggest to me, sense your hands as you curl your fingers. What does that feel like to you? And I realized, oh my God, only I know what it feels like to do any movement in my body. I am the only person who has that data. It can never be refuted. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong. That is my information alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so with that, with regular Nia practice and learning the joys of sensing my body, I began to heal my trauma. Because part of the trauma, an after effect, a symptom of trauma, is disassociation from your senses, not being able to feel your body. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that one has disassociated, sensing your body again is a way to reconnect, reintegrate with your body. And that started to happen. And I started to learn that my body has a voice. My body has things to say. And the body's voice is sensation. The body does not have language like the brain does. The body only has sensation. When we do something that hurts, we feel, ow. And that's our body's voice saying, hey, stop that. Right. When something feels good, ooh, do more. But the body has things to say more complex than that. And I started to learn to receive messages, if you will, from my body parts. And it was like, wow, it expanded my sense of identity from my previously cerebral kind of academic oriented view that Paula exists from the neck up. Paula exists inside my cranium, and the rest of my body is like basically a pedestal for my head with two little arms to shovel food in to keep the brain going. Now, after a number of years of doing Nia, I feel thoroughly soaked into every cell of my body. Paula is every cell of my body. I feel every cell is as intelligent as my brain cells. I think my brain has been over appreciated, and the rest of my body wisdom under appreciated. So those imbalances started to even out in my Nia practice while I was doing my versatile PhD business. And then a few years later in 2015, I spontaneously turned a corner in my heart when my two teachers left, and I was so sad to not be able to do Nia anymore. I tried a couple other teachers, but they just weren't the same. And I realized, oh my God, I want to do that myself. Oh my God, what? It was never in my plan to become a Nia teacher. And also on a pragmatic level, I realized that if I want quality Nia instruction in my life, apparently I'm going to have to provide it. So I took the teacher training in 2015, and it was the most beautiful, transformative learning experience I had ever had. A whole week devoted to a deep dive into sensation, the art of sensation, why to sense, how to sense, what to sense, listening to your body's voice. When I came out of that training, I was different. I was different. I started to be, without even telling myself with my brain, remember, listen to your body, I just started listening to my body. My body's voice became more audible to me. And it started influencing in a positive way my relationships, particularly my difficult relationships, like with my father. There were things that I was holding in and that I sort of had made a vow to never say. Mm-hmm. And after taking that first training program in Nia, the next time I saw him, I, without like blowing up at him or anything, I just, my body decided to say something. And I kind of turned towards him and I said, you know, Dad, when you do that, I feel hurt and offended. And it was like, what? I promised myself I would never say that to him. But here my lips are moving. It's like I was changing because of Nia. So after that, I tried to just have Nia be a hobby alongside my business, but it just kept being so rewarding for me. I became a teacher shortly after the training, started teaching one time a week, upped it to two. 9 months later, I was at three, and Nia was officially capturing my heart, my mind, my soul. And so I decided in 2016 to sell my business in order to devote myself entirely to sharing Nia. It took 2 years to find a buyer, but I did, and I sold it in May of 2018. And now I live in what you could call Nia Nirvana. I'm earning like 1% of what I earned with my business, but I am so much happier and healthier. My whole being, my trauma is well advanced towards complete healing. Every time I teach a class, I heal an inch or two more. My body feels fantastic all the time. I feel like I go through my day, especially days when I teach Nia, on sort of a little magic carpet of joy. Because that's what's important about Nia. It's about the joy of movement. Sensation leads to pleasure, leads to joy. So that is my story in a nutshell. I teach three classes a week online. I only teach on Zoom now. The pandemic forced me to teach on Zoom, dragged me kicking and screaming, and I love it. I'm shocked to say I love teaching online. Just love it. I love reaching people all over. I love the fact that many people who will take a Zoom dance class would never show up in person to a face-to-face class. I love them, the introverts, or the people maybe for other reasons. They don't have to be introverts. There's lots of reasons why a person would not go to a physical dance class. So I am very happy with my life now. And so thank you for bringing me on to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think this is something that's, let's put it this way. In the perimenopause and menopause age range, we oftentimes start to realize that we've carried some baggage. And we carried some trauma and things have happened. And now maybe we're in a career where like, I have no idea how I ended up here. I'm not happy. Who did I do this for? You know, and we start to realize that there are all these little things. And at the same time, those folks who are fit tend to notice that the hard, no pain, no gain workouts are not getting the results. And so it's kind of one of these things where the Nia technique to me is like you're killing two birds with one stone, if you will, because you're helping someone to work with trauma and connecting better to themselves, which I can't say anyone that is well connected. I think it takes a process. In my patients, I feel like everyone could use a little bit more connection. And then now we're getting also the workout where you're sweating. You were saying you're sweating your butt off and you're working through things. So what does a typical Nia class look like? How do you start off? What happens in, you know, throughout the course of the course?
Every Nia class has the same basic structure. All instructors are different as people. So of course the energy and the sound of the person's voice, all those personal things vary from instructor to instructor naturally, like in other forms of exercise. But every Nia class, if it's done correctly, has seven cycles.
Wow.
First, those seven cycles are first, the instructor sets the focus and intent for the class. Every class has a focus, and it could be a body part, like today we're going to focus on our shoulders with the intent to reverse the hunched posture that we're in all day in our jobs, for example. Or it could be a non-physical concept. It could be one of the movement forms that influence Nia. Like today, we're going to focus on Tai Chi energy, the slow dance. We're going to cultivate a sense of slow, mindful balance as we do the routine with the intent to calm down our nervous systems. These are just sample focus and intents. The teacher sets that at the beginning of the experience. That is cycle one. In cycle two, we all, including the teacher, step in, simply taking a step forward, leaving distractions behind. It's a symbolic stepping out of your daily concerns and into this special hallowed space of the Nia experience. Then the music begins and the instructor models and cues the movements. We are in the warm-up cycle, number three, where the first two or three songs We're warming our body up to get it ready for the bulk of the class, which is spent in cycle four, the get moving cycle. And in that phase, we are moving more. And each song is its own world in terms of what the choreography is. When each song has its own movements dedicated to that song, and the movements were created by a Nia choreographing professional. So they're great. There's a great relationship between the movements and the music, something that I, as a dancer, even an amateur dancer, appreciate. I don't want the music to just provide a beat. I want it to provide something to express. So this Nia satisfies that. So now we're get moving. That's like 40 minutes or 45 minutes of the whole class. And the fifth cycle is cool down, where we have a song or two where we're letting our heart rates get back down. Cycle six is floor play, where we're on the floor playing with the sensation of being on the floor. There are things you can do on the floor that you can't do when you're bearing your own weight. So we have fun on the floor. And then cycle seven is stepping out. We literally, again, take a step out of the Nia experience and into the rest of our day.
Very cool. So you're ending it. See, that's one of the things that I find with a lot of conventional workouts is that we don't prepare folks for, okay, workout's done. It's like, bye, go to the showers, go into the world. You're preparing folks for kind of heading back into the real world in that last cycle. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Nia technique, has anyone ever studied it in terms of looking at effect on cortisol and the actual, because it sounds, and just like you were telling me, it sounds quite amazing for the parasympathetic kind of helping someone's nervous system really chill out versus being stuck in the fight or flight mode. Has anyone done research on cortisol or the sympathetic parasympathetic connection?
Yes, there has been a fair amount, of course, never enough, but there's been a noticeable amount of research done on the value of Nia for specific populations, including trauma survivors, developmental and other kinds of trauma, and also including Parkinson's disease and other progressive conditions. For some reason, the Parkinson's and Nia connection has received special attention by researchers, and they have found that Nia is very good at retarding or stopping the progress. And with a progressive condition, not making progress is an improvement. Nia is not going to cure Parkinson's, but it can slow down or stop the progress of the progressive disease. And with trauma, there's been a whole other set of researchers that have studied how Nia and there's a lot of research on other mindful movement practices also, which have some elements in common with Nia, how those help with trauma.
I think trauma is a very interesting subject. I've talked about it before with a couple other folks on the podcast. I've dove into how it affects our nervous system in particular. And we go sometimes beyond the fight or flight and into a freeze state. And it seems to me, it's almost like Nia is helping the body come out of that freeze state, if you will.
Yes. The ways that Nia helps trauma are that it teaches us, first of all, to sense our bodies. As I said, trauma tends to have a disconnecting, disassociating effect on our bodies. And so by inviting us to sense our bodies while moving, we are reintegrating with our bodies. And that helps us to feel our feelings. And of course, if we don't feel them, they will stay there forever, stuck in our bodies. It helps us to regulate our emotions. And also, Nia choreography is... It is, everything is done on one side and then on the other side. So there is a bilateral brain stimulation aspect of Nia. You wouldn't necessarily notice it because it feels just like a kind of a very accessible dance class. You know, let's do four this way and four that way. But for the trauma-informed, oh my gosh, bilateral brain stimulation, rather like EMDR. Rather like, it isn't EMDR, but bilateral brain stimulation is very helpful. And there is a lot of repetition in the movements. We're not learning a thing that we're going to perform. We're not, you know, learning Swan Lake here. We are doing movements that feel good, and we're doing them a lot of times. during each song, which has its own dedicated choreography, we're doing the first movement 8 times, and then we learn the second movement and do that, and then we learn the third movement, and back to the first one, we get to do it again. And as we go through each song, a trauma-informed Nia teacher will start each song at a lower movement intensity, focusing on just the bottom half of the body so they can get the feet. And then when we repeat that movement again, the teacher cues to, if they want to increase the size and energy of the movement, so that by the time, the last time we do it, we're really doing it. And incremental increases of amplitude, if you will, of the movement is very helpful for trauma survivors, because a movement that they can do small, then they can maybe enlarge it a little bit more, and maybe enlarge it a little bit more. It is a gradual increase of effort and expression. and finally, I think this might be the most important, is that in Nia, you, the student, the participant, you are in charge. I am modeling the moves. I am helpfully cueing you, giving words that help you get the moves, but there is no pressure on you to get them right or to do them exactly the way I'm doing them. If a person in class, for example, can't lift their arm past shoulder height, and the choreography is lift both your arms, well, then that person just lifts the one and lifts the other one as far as it goes, and that's good enough for them. No one is ever corrected or called out or urged or commanded to work any harder than they want to. And it's even acceptable to totally abandon the choreography. If I'm doing this and you feel like, you know what, I'm just not doing that, I want to lie down on the floor and move my thumbs, then that's bloody well what you do. So you are in charge of whether to do the movements, how to do the movements, how big to do the movements. So Nia, in that sense, is not an intervention. It is not a thing that is done to the person. It is an environment in which a person has choices. And there is no judgment. There are only sensory options.
I like that. I like that. And I think for a lot of trauma folks, that's huge, to be in control, right? We need to have that feeling. We need to be, you know, in that stage. Now, have some folks ever said to you in the beginning, I don't know how to feel. How do I do this? So how long does it take someone to really start to be able to get that connection where they're starting to make some clear, like, connecting of dots and realizing, oh, okay, I see what my body likes. I see how this works.
It's hard to say. It varies with the person. And to be clear, I have not taught Nia in a trauma recovery center. Mm-hmm. I have not taught in that specifically trauma-focused environment. I just notice how Nia has helped me with that, and I keep that possibility alive for the students who dance with me. But people take a lot of different amounts of time. For me, it took me a few classes, say half a dozen classes, to start noticing how cool and different it was to sense my body. And then it has taken, I mean, every time I do Nia, I get more embodied. So I'm still on my journey into the center of my body. And it's a beautiful journey. And I know now that I'll never be done embodying. I'll never be done sensing. So, but it didn't take me very long to get on that road, that yellow brick road of sensing your body.
Follow the yellow brick road.
But then it took me 5 years to have that heart event that showed me that I wanted to be a teacher. That doesn't happen to everybody. That's just what my journey went. Sure. So it is different for every person how bad their trauma is. And I think it makes a difference how much the person enjoys moving to music. You know, some people just don't like to dance, and they're just not gonna love this.
I find it interesting. I'm one of those people that, it's gonna sound lovely, full disclosure for everyone, if you do give me alcohol, I do like to dance a lot. there is that. But there's also the aspect of me that I used to be embarrassed of how I danced. And so I would goof off instead. I'm not as coordinated. I actually somehow got roped into teaching some Zumba classes when I was doing some fitness classes way back in the day. And I wasn't good at it. In fact, most of my class was better at than me at dancing. And so I kind of shunned the dancing thing because I was like, ooh, I'm just not good at this. So I like the idea of being able to sense my body, because I feel like for a lot of folks, when they're dancing, they're feeling like they're being judged, like when they're out, right? And when they're in a class possibly. So the Zoom is kind of nice, because if you're at home in your own living room, it's just you and you alone doing things. And I'm like, that would be something I would be more inclined to do, because I definitely wouldn't be able, I think, to be connected to my body. And I think for a lot of people that's an issue. At this stage of the game.
Yes, I agree. And I cannot emphasize enough the difference between Nia and dance per se. Nia is like dance in that we are moving expressively to music and there is choreography, but it is unlike dance in that the intent of it is not ever to perform or to build skills that you will theoretically one day demonstrate, to move up a level or whatever. It's not about demonstrating competence. It's entirely about having a sensory experience that feels delicious in your body. So that's a big difference, you know, and it makes sense that ballet, I would pay money to see a ballet performance, because the movements of ballet are not something that a regular person can do, because the movements are artificial. They are not normal and natural. They aren't natural. That's why we pay to see it. Nobody would pay to watch Nia, but you'd pay to do it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It makes sense. And I think one of the other big things I wanted to highlight at this stage of the game, because in the perimenopause, menopause state of life, we do tend to feel like our bodies are changing and we're not connected, or maybe we've never been connected, right? But yep. Especially in this time frame when the hormones are shifting and you're like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I feel like this could be something that could be even better than all of those darn no pain, no gain HIIT workouts out there that for some reason, some 20-year-old decided to tell all of us 40 plus folks that that's a good idea.
Right. Exactly. I will say my view of my body was completely transformed by doing Nia, because of its emphasis on sensation, on pleasure, on the joy of movement, and not on looks or correct execution of moves. Nia shifts your body image, and it takes a while. That this is not an overnight, this is not a pill that you take, but a few years ago, after I had been teaching for a couple of years, I realized, oh my God, and I'm 59 now, so this, oh my God, happened when I was like 55. Oh my God, I no longer value myself based on how closely I conform to the media standard of what a beautiful woman is. I no longer base my body esteem on my sexual attractiveness. I like what I can do with my body. I like how my body feels. I have a really good spine and I have no back problems. I'm fortunate. I love to make my spine make a side to side S, like a wavy rubber cord. I love to feel my spine while I'm moving. I love to feel the fat pads under my heels as I land on my heels. I love my big round ass because it provides padding when we're on the floor. People who are really skinny are like, ow, ow, I don't like being on the floor. I love being on the floor. I'm never in pain on the floor. I'm like rolling around. And I like all of my jiggly parts, because there is some jiggling in Nia. And I like to just say to myself and my students, find all your jiggly bits and just let them jiggle. I like that my butt flaps. It goes blah, 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 blah. It feels fun and funny and interesting and weird and goofy, and I like all of the sensations. I like sweating. I like breathing hard. So I value my body now in terms of the pleasure it can give me and the things that I can do with it. And it's a good thing, just in time, because I'm 59. I finally hit menopause at 58. I was a bit late. But so just in time to start aging, that I no longer care how, you know, effable I am. I don't want to use too salty language with you, but you know what I mean.
I got you. Yes. And this is a thing that I think a lot of folks, you know, are really struggling with at this transition in life, you know, being disconnected from the body, but also with the changes, not being so happy with what's happening. But this kind of gives a new perspective on how to appreciate your body and its changes and connect with it a little bit, because you might find some insight in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I'm thinking about this a little bit and going, you were talking about feeling sexy, kind of feeling good in your body. I'm like, you could do this with a partner, I suppose. I mean, obviously not together, you know, dancing partner, but someone next to you. Have you done any couples kind of ones of these, or is it more like not intended for that whatsoever?
It's not intended for that. When I was teaching face-to-face prior to the pandemic, there were days when only two people showed up. But they weren't husband and wife or a couple of any gender. And even if they had been, they would be having their own unique individual experience.
Gotcha. Now, yeah. I might be thinking some folks, and call me, you know, how can I enhance this? I'm thinking, what would a microdose of psilocybin with this, or what would an edible with this be like? Now, the reason I mention that is only because sometimes folks might be thinking, how can I get to a deeper level of my consciousness? And obviously, to be connected, sometimes we have to think about not having a psychedelic or something of that nature on board. But in my mind, I'm going, what might that do? Does the Nia technique talk anything about altering the experience with anything?
This is not a discussion that happens in the Nia community. I would say, as a person who has experienced a lot of Nia and in the past a little bit of psychedelics long, long, long ago, I would say that I would not advise doing Nia on psychedelics unless you've done a lot of both in the past, so that the only new element of the experience is the combination of the two. But it does not sound like the greatest idea to me.
Fair enough. The reason I bring it up is because a lot of different therapy training folks are using the microdosing and things of that nature to help folks with trauma-based therapy and things of that nature. And I was curious if you had any experience in that, because some folks are starting to combine different therapies. Now, yeah, at this point, guys, I'm only just mentioning it because I know that someone's light bulb might have went on there. And also because I know that this is some of the controlled therapies that we have in the Tacoma area and in Washington where I practice. And so we've got those kind of things. And I think it's important to know that this is a mindful practice where your mind should be present.
Yes, very much so. Your mind should be present and grounded in your somatic reality, in your body, sensing your body, not hallucinating about your body, not like, oh my God, my hand is like wings, it's flying away, oh my God. No, your hand is your hand, and you can imbue it with a wing image, but it has to be a conscious choice.
Makes sense. So some of the more intricate Nia techniques, you were talking about letting doves go. And you were talking just now about wings. Are there a lot of bird references in terms, I'm just curious as to how we move like animals. I'm thinking about animal references. Do you incorporate a lot of that?
There is no storehouse of images that are available for Nia teachers to use that are sanctioned by the Nia organization or that are not sanctioned. Some teachers don't use images. You don't have to use images to be a good Nia teacher. And some teachers use a lot of images. I'm very imagey. But the images come to me from what we in Nia call my spirit, from that place where inspirations come from. And you don't know where the heck it is. Like, where did that come from? Suddenly I'm like wanting to cluck like a chicken because I'm moving my neck. So I follow it. I go, and then I'm being a chicken. But that's me. That's personal to me. And it is not, there isn't any rule, use lots of bird imagery.
I like it. It's free spirited. It's very cool in this aspect. So that being said, I think folks have a pretty good idea of what Nia looks like in that type of thing. Now, is it typically an hour long or 45 minutes? How does it work? And how many days a week should someone be doing the Nia technique?
Well, it depends on the person, but a Nia class is 1 hour long. It usually takes a couple of minutes to set the focus. And then after we step out, we are all in the state of sort of some form of ecstasy. We're like, oh my God, it was so great. We're all sweaty. We all have what I call the post-Nia glow. And we want to just go, oh my God, that was so great. So there's a little bit of chatter afterwards. So, and the Nia routine itself, there are different routines, but they range from 54 to 58 minutes in length. So, it's the better part of an hour. And there's a little bit of talk before and after. I think that how many times a week to take Nia is up to the person and their ability to handle that much. It isn't a no pain, no gain kind of, it's not like CrossFit. It's not like, gosh, you really should only do it, once a week. There's no real caution needed, except if a person is, for example, just coming back from a prolonged period of inactivity. Mm-hmm. If they have a mobility issue or an injury that they're recovering from, it is best to start slow. Try one class and see how it feels to your body and see how you feel the next day and see how it feels to other parts of you too. Did you love it? So if your body feels good and you loved it, then you could maybe take two classes a week. And there's really nothing, I learned from ballet that the reasons I got injured in ballet was because my enthusiasm made me do more ballet than I should have been doing. It made me, I was excited, I was overexcited, and I said, well, I want to do this four times a week. And when I was kind of, when a teacher spoke to me and said, you could be in the beginning intermediate class, I was like, yeah, I want to go. And then I was doing bigger choreography and doing it four times a week. It was too much of an acceleration. And so I tore a meniscus and developed sesamoiditis, a repetitive stress injury of the ball of the foot. And it was just bad. So always use your body's sensation as your guide for how much you want to do it.
Makes sense. Thank you for telling folks that. I think I have a lot of folks that listen to this that are overachievers, and they might be thinking, can I do this every day? Can I do two a days? So that's always wise there. Now, how can folks find you if they're like, this is intriguing, Paula, I want to jump in on your Zoom classes. How does this work? So
well,
give us a little background.
Yes, they simply go to my website, www.paulachambers.me. Not .com or net, .me, me, paulachambers.me. And there are big yellow buttons all over it saying, book now. So click any of those book now buttons and it will take you to my schedule. You're free to poke around on the site and read more about me, read more about Nia, etc. But when you're ready to book a class, click book now and it will show you my entire upcoming schedule. And you click sign up and you follow the prompts, you pay, and then you will receive a Zoom link in your email right away, and then another one an hour before the class. All classes include a 24-hour replay, so that if you say you want to dance on Wednesday afternoon, but my class is Wednesday at 10 a.m., sign up anyway, and then you can dance to the recording when you're good and ready later that afternoon.
Very cool. That's awesome. I love that you can do the replay, because I think for a lot of folks, sometimes the timing's not going to work, but
yes.
Also, maybe they want to review it and show some other folks, too, what they're up to.
The replays only last 24 hours at the request of the Nia organization. So if they're going to do that, they'd better do it quick.
Okay. Fair enough.
And it's important that everyone sign a liability waiver, of course. And that's part of the sign-up process the first time you sign up.
Makes perfect sense. Now, Paula, if you could tell my folks listening right now, one thing that might be the first step towards trying out Nia, if they're a little bit on the fence and going, I'm not really sure if this is for me, what would be one thing you would tell them to kind of go, hey, just try it?
I would like to invite anyone who's feeling very anxious, even after hearing this podcast, to email me and we will have a conversation about it. We can set up a Zoom call and I will talk to you about your concerns, your specific concerns. I have no problem doing that. Paula@paulachambers.me, or you can use the contact form on my website. But I can't stress enough that NIA is not a performing art. You will never be corrected or called out in NIA. You will be encouraged to turn your frustration into fascination. What does this feel like? I see that I'm not doing what Paul is doing, but what do I feel in what I am doing? And that's absolutely okay. The purpose of NIA is pleasure. It is designed to create a feeling that we call the joy of movement. That is the purpose of NIA. Fitness is a byproduct. It does develop what we call the five sensations of fitness: flexibility, agility, mobility, stability, and strength. But the overt point is to experience the joy of movement. And that is the purpose of it. So if you are having fun, if you are sensing your body and feeling good, you are doing it right.
Wow. I love it. I love it. This sounds so fascinating to me. I am looking forward to trying out a class myself because I think it would be just fabulous to know what it's all about and give folks a little rundown on it too.
I would love to share it with you. Thank you for your interest.
No problem. Well, Paula, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this great info with folks. And we will be posting this one up with all of the notes on where to find you, how to email you if they're interested, in the podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So thanks again, Paula. I really appreciate your information.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
If this podcast has left you thinking about the NIA technique and wanting to try it, let me tell you, I tried it myself. I took a class with Paula and had a blast. My inner child came out and it was so much fun. Normally, I'm not that big of a dancer. In fact, I feel like Simon Cowell is judging me anytime I attempt to dance. So this is a free, lovely environment and I got to express myself and had a ton of fun. So head over to paulachambers.me, meversus.com. So paulachambers.me, and enter the code HEALTHFIX all together, all in capitals, health fix. And try out a class on Paula and let me know what you think. I would love to hear your feedback. And hey, you know, I'm kind of addicted to it now, so I might even see you in one of those classes. Hey, health junkies, I wanted to let you know I have a new masterclass. It is called the Fit Physique Blueprint. It is tied in with a new program that I'm offering, but the masterclass tells you all about the real reason that you are not getting results in the gym. So if you're struggling with some extra body weight and you're cutting calories, you're doing more cardio, doing the HIIT workouts, you're taking fat burner pills and you're not seeing results, this is definitely for you. Now, hey, I was there once and it was not a lovely place to be, so I knew I had to do something, and then I learned from listeners that I wasn't the only one. So we've got a solution for you. So head over to bodycompositionmastery.com, sign up for my masterclass, and then you can book a call with me and let's see how I can help you.